We're back on Canuck Central. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. A lot to get to here in this final hour. The legendary Sam Rosen, Hockey Hall of Famer, is going to join us. Rangers play-by-play. It'll be his last time calling Rangers Canucks as they do battle tomorrow at 1 o'clock Eastern time, 10 a.m. Pacific, so 1 o'clock local for the Canucks in New York City, which we just got a real good feel of New York City Friday night in the Chelsea neighborhood where IMAC was about to visit the Gramercy Tavern. And we heard all the honking and yelling you could possibly imagine in the midst of all the chaos.
The type of New York ambient sound you would expect.
I think tomorrow might be a chaotic game as well.
Early game?
Yeah.
Yeah. Desperate teams.
Do the Canucks get put into a game of river hockey with the New York Rangers, or are they able to slow it down to more of a Rick Tocchet-style pace?
I would hope that the Canucks are able to take advantage of the Rangers' loose play and not give the Rangers some easy, cheap chances. That's what I want to see from the Canucks. And I know people want to see exciting hockey. And yeah, it'll be exciting if the Canucks just hold on and take advantage of New York being sloppy, because New York plays very sloppy hockey.
Yeah, they are not great defensively, as we talked about with Kevin Woodley earlier this week. It's going to be one that both teams kind of have to have. Rangers have lost three in a row. All the Canucks, after losing to St. Louis last night, need to start collecting points and get closer to the magic number that will get them into the postseason. All right, hit the music. It's the mailbag. Yes, a mailbag session here on a Friday. We have producer Elon Chark with us. What's happening, Elon?
Would IMAC be a good SNL host?
Ian McIntyre, he's got a dry humor about
it. Quadruple threat.
Yeah, I think he could do it.
That's a tough one. He'd have to do like a Norm Macdonald type of skit.
which Sportsnet personality is most likely to be an SNL host?
Zach Clark.
Zach.
Zach. Wow. Wasn't expecting that, but probably.
Anyways, first one up here from Jim Leahy. What will the Canucks defense look like next year? Hughes, Hronek, Myers, Dragon feel like locks. Canucks love Forbert, Willander, D. Petey, or Mancini feel like we have defensive depth. What do you guys think?
Yeah, Canucks do have some defensive depth.
So Dragon is Marcus Pedersen.
Yes.
That's his nickname. Canucks love Forbert. He does not have a contract for next year, so we'll see how that one plays out. I'm a little skeptical that Willander starts the season with the Canucks next year.
It really depends on what he looks like.
It depends on him.
It really does. But they don't need to rush him.
No.
And the way Mancini's played, right now he has an edge as far as reliability and comfort and getting some experience, being ahead as far as development curve goes. Ceiling-wise, Willander still has the higher ceiling, obviously, but we'll see how that develops over the next few years. Myers only is only under contract for two more years.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can look at this and say, well, there's so much right-handed depth here. You're good. You can move one of these guys. I don't think you're there. Like, I think you kind of need to have Mancini and Willander long-term here both, right?
Yeah.
And there's really, like, who else on the right side is coming outside of those two players?
Not really anybody.
Right? Like, it's those two guys, you know? Yeah. So I think for next season, that's going to be the question. Do you start Willander in the AHL because you just want to give Mancini more games and you don't want to have one or two of those guys sitting every night? Because if you bring Forbert back, and I think you want to have a veteran there too, then two of Mancini, Pedersen, and Willander are not playing.
Yeah. It's, I'm not too, like, into rushing Willander. It's going to depend on how he looks. He might get a couple of games here, burn his ELC before the end of the season, but
that really depends on how far BU goes.
Yeah, so they just lost yesterday in the Hockey East tournament. So they're out there, but now they're waiting for the national tournament to start, and that is next week. If they play well, they make it to the Frozen Four. Frozen Four doesn't start till April 10th. So
it's April 10th to 12th. Yeah. So the earliest Willander could play for the Canucks would be April 14th. Mm-hmm. And then their final game of the season is April 16th. So if BU gets to the Frozen Four, the Final Four, or gets to the final, He may not even get into a game this year.
Yeah.
Especially if that game is like to make the playoffs. You're not going to just put Vilander in out of nowhere, like, go and play, right? Like, that's not going to happen. No matter how much talent he has, they're not going to throw a raw rookie D-man over Mancini or Pedersen if both are healthy in a must-win type of game, right?
Fresh out of college into a National Hockey League.
Yeah, so there's no guarantee if BU goes far that we even see Vilander play a game for the Canucks this season.
Canucks final games of the season are April 14th and 16th. So if BU goes all the way in the national tournament, then it'll be tough to see Willander potentially play. Now, that might depend on how the Canucks do as well. As Sat just mentioned, their final two games against San Jose and Vegas, actually their final stretch. And this is why I think like this next stretch is so important for the Canucks, where they've got the three New York teams. Jersey's obviously struggled with all the injuries they've had lately. But after this stretch, their final five of six are all against playoff teams.
Yeah.
Vegas twice. You got Colorado mixed in there. Minnesota, Dallas. And then the one layup, you would say, is San Jose in the penultimate game of the season. Five of the last six against playoff teams. You're going to want to be in the second wild card when you begin that stretch of games, I feel like, because points might be hard to come by once you get to that stretch, which, will factor in on what happens with Vilander later on.
Would you guys rather see Vilander for a couple games here with the big club or go have him win a chip at BU?
I mean, I don't think we need to see Vilander this season. The Canucks don't need Vilander right now.
Just as an excitement point of view, if you're a fan.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like I'd rather him just go and play and get that experience because, like Reach is outlining, especially if he gets to the Final Four, like you're not going to see him play anyways. Just go ahead and play. Like,
yeah.
And the Canucks don't need, like right now, Mancini would be ahead anyway, so would DPD. It would take some time for him to show that he's more reliable than those players. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree on that. I think getting a kind of championship-level experience for Vilander would also be good for his development. So in that situation, given where the Canucks are, I think it might be best for him to stay there.
Yeah.
This one's from PG Lee. If Brock Besser continues to rake up the goals in the final 13 games, will the Canucks add term to what they were going to give him, and will Besser accept or walk?
I mean, if the Canucks add the term, I wonder if Brock can be persuaded. But from everything I can gather and what we've talked about with Frank Saravalli, like, Brock is testing free agency. And I don't think that, like, at this point, I don't think there's much that can happen here that changes his mindset on that. Outside of the Canucks maybe coming up to where his number was, which they were pretty clear on that, something that's something they weren't going to do.
Yeah, but I mean, again, like the total money, I don't think if they actually did offer, like Frank says, 40 million, and if like 45 million gets it done, that's not that far off.
No,
you know, we're not talking about a huge gulf between the two. I do think the Canucks would have to come up to some extent from their offer, but does it have to be to the full ask? You know what I mean? And I would say, as much as Besser is or was hurt and is upset and frustrated, the more you play down a stretch, every game goes by. Now he's having success again, having fun. Him and Hughes are very close, and Hughes spoke very highly of Besser recently too, about how close they are and about how much he believes in him. And I think there's a lot of personal reasons as to why Brock wants to stay in Vancouver that does not have to do with the team anyways.
Yeah.
So with those factors being there, I can't close the door on it. Like, I can't close the door on the fact that, you know, he's not going to sign here before free agency. I don't think it's happening anytime soon.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. Like,
I won't close the door. I just think it's very unlikely.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not there.
Okay.
I'm not there yet.
All right.
Small sample size, but has the last two games changed your opinion at all of bringing him back next year?
No.
I think I've always known kind of what Brock is. You know, it's why I've not been opposed to having him stay in Vancouver. You need goal scorers. He's played well with Pedersen these last two games, which is not something we've seen a lot of. But I still think you have to hold somewhat firm on what you're offering him. Four goals in two games isn't changing that. I don't think you should give Brock a massive contract or go up to 8-year term or anything like that.
This one's from Miles. As you both have outlined, an RFA signing is highly unlikely this summer due to our lack of a third-round pick. Who would be your top trade target for this team?
Love me a good trade target discussion. They're obviously looking for centermen. And centermen that fit into their range of age, upside, and the like. You're going to have a lot of competition in these conversations. As Elliot Friedman pointed out on 32 Thoughts today, you know, Montreal is looking for centermen. Canucks are looking for centermen. All these teams are going to be looking for younger centermen to help them continue to grow and come out of their rebuild, so to speak. There's not going to be as many options as there are teams looking for those players. That much I will say. But I do wonder about the Anaheim Ducks. And whether it's Trevor Zegras or Mason McTavish, those are two names I would be looking at. I think Zegras is maybe more likely than McTavish. And I'm not even the biggest Zegras fan, but I wonder if that's a player who's got upside, you can see, could potentially fit into a second-line center kind of a role down the line. Like, that's the kind of player and upside you're looking for that may be in need of a change of scenery.
Yeah, and I think the other guy, even though he got traded to Buffalo, I think we'll see what happens with Josh Norris, too.
Already hurt, too.
Yeah, already injured as well, and the Sabres have a lot of big decisions to make.
Yeah.
So I would say that's what could be back in play as well. So I would say don't dismiss the fact that Norris was traded and that he was not going to be available again. And I do wonder as well about the Flyers.
Interesting.
And if there could be something there with a couple other players. Now, they have a couple of veterans as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one team I'm also keeping a bit of an eye on.
So, like, Sean Couturier doesn't make sense, really.
No, I don't think he makes sense, but I mean, he's one of those guys that you could probably get like for a song.
Right. Got three more years at 7.75 on his contract beyond this year.
I think he's like five more years.
Is he five more? Yeah, he's on until 2030.
Yeah, there's a lot of years, man.
Sorry, the Puckpedia only shows three more.
Yeah, doesn't go all the way over.
Just shows the year that it expires after the next 3 years. So yeah, that's a tough one. Couturier is signed until forever. I mean, I don't really see a center on Philly that's obvious, at the very least, outside of Couturier.
No, the other guy is Noah Cates. He can play wing, but can play center, but more of a defensive type. Now, that all kind of comes down to how you view Hedo and how he fits in, right? And if you're making, you know, bet on somebody to play a certain role for you, right? So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, but I think this question is best to be asked again in about a month and a half,
because
then we'll get a clearer picture on what could or couldn't be available. Because the one guy that I actually do wonder about as far as a market around him this summer is going to be Matt Barzal. Now, with Vancouver, I know you've mentioned, does he even want to play in Vancouver or not? Like, there's some question whether that's something he wants to do or not. But there are some questions about, is Barzal going to get moved?
Yeah.
And do the Islanders look to make something pretty drastic happen here? Because as good as Barzal has been, he hasn't really lived up to what they had hoped he would be.
Yeah. I wouldn't say he's opposed to play in Vancouver, but yeah. Some guys just aren't the most keen on playing at home.
But that's the guy I really wonder about this summer. Like, the Islanders are actually serious, because I think the teams have sniffed around him. Then that's a guy you have to be super serious about if you're the Canucks. Because you're not going to find guys with that type of upside, even if they are questionable, if they're truly on the market. Like, and you have to trade some really high-end pieces to do so, but I think you have to be willing to do so.
When it comes to a player like that, I just doubt the Canucks have the pieces to match up with what other teams might be able to offer.
Yeah, it depends on how far you go with your best assets, though, right?
Yeah. All right. So there's some names. I'd keep an eye on Columbus as well. But that's it.
This one's from JT Canucks. What is more beneficial for the Canucks long-term, playoff experience or a lottery pick?
I would say, because it is not the deepest of drafts, and I still think the Canucks are likely going to end up somewhere. Like, I don't think they'll drop into the bottom 10 of the league, I'd still say the playoff experience is something I'm more about than the most possible lottery balls.
So it's going to be either what the 14th pick realistically,
yeah,
or like the what 17th pick,
yeah.
I'll take the 17th pick in the playoffs.
It's not going to be the biggest deal.
Like, it's going to be, you know, that
they're probably not winning a round in the playoffs. So
yeah, like we're not talking about this huge difference, especially in this year's draft.
Yeah,
and even the way.
The way that this year's draft is shaping up, it's just...
No, and the way we spoke to Shane Malloy about this, it's like there's like a top 20,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to be in that 20 range no matter what, right?
Yeah.
Like, most likely, you're probably not getting to the second round.
No.
But if you do, then it's like, is it obviously worth it? You won a round.
Like, I just think it would take a lot for the Canucks, even if they were to have sold a bunch of pieces at the deadline... It would have taken a lot for the Canucks to drop into the bottom 10 of the league, you know, to really make that draft pick that much more enticing. They're too good of a hockey team. Next.
This one's from Ali. What have you thought about how well Hoglander has rounded out his game in the last month or so?
I love it. I like seeing Hoglander play when he's at his best. His game just like drops in and out far too often. You know, he was so good for so much of last season, and you got into the playoffs and it was like, well, where'd he go?
Yeah, but I will say, like, one thing he has done better, like, he still has moments where you can tell that he just is not going to be able to process the right play quick enough.
Yeah.
And that's going to be something, because he doesn't have this super high awareness about what to do at the right time. He has great instincts offensively. He's really good on the forecheck, but away from the puck, he doesn't read and react quick enough, and he will make the wrong decision. He'll bite at times, and you'll see it even, you know, in his recent play when he's played well. And I think that's something you're going to have to live with Hoglander. But I do think that he has improved in a lot of different ways. And when he does commit to making the right play defensively, he's made some really good plays. There's been some really good back checks from him. He's played the body hard. He's gone to the right spot. But he will have moments where he still won't stop on pucks. Like, he'll fly by. It's like, you got to stop and take the puck, you know? And I think those are things that he can still improve on and do better on. And if he wants to stay in the top six, especially with Rick Tocchet as the coach, like, you're going to have to do those things, right? But I do think, to give him credit, and I think Ali is right, that he has worked on every aspect of his game and he's made some improvements.
Yeah.
He really has. And if you look at it from a strictly results standpoint, a lot more good than bad's been happening for almost 40 games now for Nils Höglander, and that's a pretty good sample.
One of the few players that's been well above water for the Canucks when it comes to goal share on the ice.
This one's from Everything Canucks. Should the Canucks keep EP40, Höglander, and Besser line together for the rest of the season? He says obvious yes, but why didn't they before?
They didn't before because it just never really clicked.
Well, we brought the numbers up. I mean, Pettersson and Besser, before being reunited, had played over 280 minutes 5-on-5 together.
Yeah.
And it wasn't good.
No, it was bad.
You know? And Höglander has a lot of minutes with Pettersson as well earlier this season. And a lot of that comes down to how Pettersson was playing and how he was struggling, obviously, right? But they've tried everything this year, man. You know, I think part of the criticism could be, should you stay with something longer? But then the question is, are you patient with lines because they're being productive, or are they productive because you're being patient?
Yeah.
And generally speaking, the teams that are patient with their line combinations are the teams that are having success with their line combinations. The Canucks have not had much success with their line combinations.
Canucks have only three lines this year that have played over 150 minutes together. That just shows how much they've had to put the lines into a blender, and it's kind of wild that that is the case. Like, I'm talking about a trio of players all coming together and having to play that much. Only three such lines have played more than 150 minutes together. I'd love to see Höglander, Besser, and Pettersson continue. I know that if there's a tough game and they don't really perform, Rick Tocchet's probably throwing the lines in a blender again, because you're desperate. And that means you're not going to give things time to breathe and give things time to work out. You're just trying to keep switching it up and find something that works.
But I kind of hope they stick with this for a while. Like, they're having some success.
I hope so as well. I'm not counting on it, Sat. I'm not.
Mr. Pessimist.
That's right.
This one's from everybody. Twitter, our text box, they're asking you guys, who is JT Miller having dinner with?
Okay, so I think we can all safely assume Connor Garland.
Yeah, Garz is there.
Right. Tyler Myers, they were buddies, I think so.
Yeah, Myers. Mizey's probably there.
Demko?
Demmer's probably there.
Okay.
I think Hughes is probably there too.
Probably.
Yeah.
But I can't guarantee it.
Yeah.
Like, could he be like, hey, I'm just gonna be Switzerland?
I'm gonna be Switzerland on this one, guys. Yeah. I think the obvious ones are those. Beyond that, I think Besser's probably there too. So, you know, the particulars probably aren't all that surprising to anybody.
Yeah.
I think we know who's not going to be there, and that's fine.
Yeah, and Rick Tockett. Oh, you mean players? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Petey?
Yeah.
Marcus Patterson?
Maybe all the Petey's.
All the Petey's show up. But it would be funny.
They have to stay together as one, the Petey's.
Would be funny, though, if EP40
showed up.
Actually showed up and they have photos of it and they're just vibing.
Yeah, I would love a good little Instagram picture.
That would be so great.
A couple of the guys there.
That would be so, so great. I don't, like, he's not going to, JT is not, as he said during the Four Nations, like, he was upset that the Kachucks revealed the group chat conversations. Yeah. I don't think JT is pulling the Scott Laughton and having the Last Supper kind of photo that goes out onto Twitter or Instagram, unfortunately.
All right,
that was elite work by Scott Laughton.
Hronik is another guy I think would be there.
This is an interesting question we got here from Richard. My wife and daughter are leaving for a week. What's the appropriate amount of takeout dinners I should order next week? Three or four?
So takeout dinners. So for a week. So seven nights.
Yeah.
I think five is appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're alone.
Yeah.
Like, you know, whatever. They're away. Like, just make it easy for yourself.
Make it easy for yourself.
And maybe a couple of days, 'cause you can't have it every night.
Yeah, maybe there's a night you just stop at the local fast food joint, you know, on your way home from work.
Yeah,
get a little greasy for dinner one night.
But yeah, if you're home, especially like if your significant others are away, it's definitely like order in.
Yeah,
like especially if they're on vacation.
Yeah, I'm kind of like opposed to delivery apps these days. They just frustrate me. I get like an email like 50% off your next three orders, then the fine print, maximum $10. It's like, that's one item, you know? I was just saying, you're giving me the fees, like just no fees for your next three orders.
But
like,
if you're ordering for
pretty much the same price.
But if you're ordering it for yourself,
yeah,
then $10 is not bad. Like, if you get, I mean, do you usually get stuff that's more than $20 for yourself?
No, very, very rarely.
Then it's like, yeah, you get half of that off. That's not too bad.
Maximum $10. It's unbelievable.
You're so mad about this.
Well, it used to be like maximum 20 or even more, you know, and now it's like $10. Great. Shrinkflation. It's happening everywhere.
Are you like a Dash Pass member or anything? Or no, you don't do that?
No.
Uber One?
No.
Uber One, no?
No. No.
So you just want freebies?
Yeah.
Yeah. The entitlement nowadays. Just give me freebies. Why are you not making this free for me?
There are some things like... boy dinner is big for me too.
Boy dinner?
Yeah, like where, or I don't know.
Explain
man dinner.
What that is.
Man dinner,
you guys
boy
didn't
dinner?
See the,
man
what's
dinner?
Boy dinner? You guys didn't see the girl dinner trend and then it became a boy dinner trend?
Yeah, I can understand man dinner.
What do you do? You just like, let's cook up some like sausages.
Like a steak.
Yeah, basically.
Boy dinner is like a cereal.
Mac and cheese.
Yeah, I'll make my fluffy yogurt. There's my boy dinner. I'll do something like just like super simple. Like I'll throw fries in the air fryer and then like a little bit of taco beef. It takes me like 15 minutes to make everything. And you throw it on top of the fries with some cheese, melt the cheese on top. And it's like 15 minutes. I got a greasy dinner that I'm so in love with.
Like grilled cheese would be like a boy dinner.
Yeah.
Mm. Like a man dinner would be like, you know, steak.
Man dinner.
Ribs, you know, like something like that.
Man dinner, like I'm probably ordering like from Memphis Barbecue or something and just getting real greased up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slow cooked ribs.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Mm. I'm a man.
Memphis Barbecue. Shouts. Good place. Good spot. Any more?
Yeah, I guess we'll go to this last one. Reach, I know you like to jump ship on your fandom. Are you still a Seahawks fan?
Or? Of course, yes.
And Sat, you're still a Browns fan?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
he's not giving up.
He's made it this far.
He's very sad Jameis Winston is now going to the New York Giants.
I'm delighted he's in New York and not back with Cleveland.
So I want to ask you guys this one. We still got a ways to go here, a lot of draft, a lot of preseason to come up. But who finishes with a better record next season, the Browns or the Seahawks? We saw the Seahawks make a splash.
Oh, it's
a lot of new players. The Browns have the second overall pick?
Yeah, definitely the Browns.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
definitely
like
winning more games than the Seahawks.
How do you think the Browns are winning more games than the Seahawks?
They have better players.
Really?
Yeah. Have you seen their defense?
Who's their quarterback?
Well, we're going to draft
Shedeur
Sanders or Cam Ward.
Oh, great.
I think Cam's going first.
Yeah, he's
Shedeur
going
to Cleveland would be an ideal marriage.
Shedeur Sanders, I don't know. He ain't it for me.
More of a Sam Darnold guy.
Yeah. I'm Sam Darnold guy. Love Cooper Kupp going home. Still worried about the O-line, but they'll figure it out. You know, they'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'm sure.
San Fran's going to have a down year.
Yeah.
I'm worried about the Rams. Rams are probably going to be good again. And the Cardinals.
The Seahawks,
the
what do they have, 10 picks in the first three rounds or something crazy?
They got the most picks in the first 100 of any team in the league. So
yeah, they're a young team.
We'll fix the O-line through the draft.
Yeah, and Josh Snyder's shown great ability to draft players. Mm.
Yeah, he has.
No, he has, yeah. Some years. It's like he drafts really well on leap years.
What do you mean? Reek Woolen's great.
Yeah.
Witherspoon had a great rookie year.
Reek Woolen finally played better again.
Yeah.
He's gone through some ups and downs. Yeah, Witherspoon's awesome. JSN looks really good.
JSN looks great.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Charbonnet, good second back.
Yeah. All right. We've kind of run the list. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. That was the mailbag. Coming up, Sam Rosen, legendary New York Rangers broadcaster, joins us to close out the show next on Sports at 650.